So, wow, there it is. This is where we are kind of today in a nutshell.
Yeah. If you've gotten a chance to listen to all three parts, you get a good summary of our little story, our little journey at Dutch Bros. It's just been a wild ride.
I completely agree.
We're not slowing down by any means. You know, we like to think that we're just starting. You know, we've had so many people that have contributed to making Dutch Bros what it is today. So thanks to everybody out there that's been a part of this, man. We love you guys.
Where we sort of start in this journey of part three was the decision to buy Marty McKenna out.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy, but I think it made sense. And like you said, he's a good guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I think his motives for wanting more and more money was just to provide a better life for his family.
Well, it wasn't out of greed. I mean, I understand it, having kids. I want to provide for my family. And I think the long-term vision maybe wasn't necessarily the same. I mean, it was beneficial for everybody. You know, I know Marty's out there on the East Coast, and he's been rocking some coffee shops out there for a while now. And so hats off to you, Marty. Man, we miss you. We're glad that you're doing well.
I can see it now in hindsight, being somebody in my 30s, of just like, man, that really cool of Dane and Trav. They were so forward-thinking to take less money on a personal level and just keep reinvesting in the business.
Yeah.
Did you see it that way as a kid, or were you like, Dad, why don't you, we should get more money, man? I want stuff.
You know, I mean, I grew up on a dairy farm, man. Yeah. We had nothing.
Yeah.
You know, by the time that this is kind of taken off, my dad wrote the first franchise agreement, you know, which is so wild. And I remember him reading it. It was the Franchise Bible. That's what it was literally called. And it was like just this huge book. And I'm like, that looks miserable. Like, I just don't have no desire in me to do what you're doing right now. That is so wild. Honestly, it's going to sound stupid, but money has never even been a thought. Maybe I'm just an eternal optimist, but I always believe that if I put in effort, then I'll get out of it what I put into it. You know, even just when they decided to roast coffee, it was a big deal. You know, you hear the story about them with their suitcase full of cash and stuff. I mean, it's a big deal to do all that. And then I remember the conversation was like, dude, if we do this and it sucks, it's going to cost us, we could lose everything. And I remember my dad saying, well, worst case scenario, because by then they had turned the dairy farm into a golf course. He's like, we could always just mow lawns at Dutcher Creek, dude, and listen to tunes. It'd be bitching. And I was like, dude, you know, and so the thought was never like, man, we just need money. It was always like, hey, dude, let's just have fun. Make sure whatever we're doing is fun and cool.
Trav and Jared were like the first roasters.
Trav and Jared and Shane Roberts out at Tualatin. He was a roaster too. And then and then I came on, and I started roasting. And it was awesome. I'm not going to lie, I burnt a lot of batches. We had this TV that we had there that just, we got all the movie channels. And so I would just watch movies and roast coffee. And then I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm roasting. So I would look and be like burning the snot out. I'm like, that's French. I made French coffee. Yeah, French roast.
Well done, coffee.
I would take the batches and dump them behind the building, dude.
You were roasting something else too back
then. Well, coffee's coffee, bro. I did that for about a year. I actually went to the SCAA, the Specialty Coffee Association of America.
Yeah.
Went to the SCAA show in Denver that year. They kind of have this big conference there, and then they have these little breakout seminary kind of things. And I was the youngest roaster. I turned 17 that day.
Dang.
And I was the youngest roaster at this place, and they're just like, oh, dang.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, this was almost 20 years ago, bro. That is what's crazy.
Yeah.
Roasting was just not as big as it is nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was cool, learned a lot, but it got so monotonous. And my personality, I just need variety. And so I kind of couldn't hang. And then from there, I went into the coffee house.
Nice.
And it was awesome. And, you know, I think in the midst of roasting too, I was working shifts still in the stand because it was fun. So it was my senior year of high school. I started managing the coffee house, which was super fun, man. It was coffee house was rad. Still is, but man, it was way gangster when I was manager. way
the gangster. Mafia. Side note, you drew the Mafia logo, right, in high school?
Yeah, saw a little movie called Donnie Brasco. And I was like, we need our own Mafia. So I went to my dad, I was like, Dad, listen, we need to have a Mafia, dude. He's like, well, all right, write it up. So I drew out a little guy with a stogie in his mouth and a cool, you know, what do they call those hats? Fedoras or whatever it was.
I'm looking at one of the logos right now.
Yeah. And so I drew it out and I'm like there, and he took it and he's like, all right. And he sent it to an artist guy who actually made it look good. But The Dutch Mafia, man. It was like, that's how it started.
Boom.
It's kind of fun. So yeah, I remember, you know, I mean, our first few franchises that we started opening up, it's definitely grown and evolved, you know, a ton. I mean, I remember opening up the very first Brookings location on the Oregon coast, and we went over there and I stayed there for like a week. We didn't have a grand opening. If a customer came through, we'd be like, hey, this one's on us. Shh, don't tell anybody.
Like low key.
Yeah. And it would be like super slow for a few days. We obviously learned through a lot of trial and error, and we continue to this day, focusing on constant and never ending improvement. The money wasn't like, hey, pull aside money so we can have cooler clothes or so we can have better cars or anything like that. It was, hey, let's make this something that lasts. If you can have a long-term vision for something, you want to make sure it's sustainable. It's not easy to save. It's not easy to reinvest your money instead of spending it on something that is just, you know, pleasurable for in the moment. And I think part of why it's grown so big is because the money, it was never about money. It was about the impact that you can make on people. They're putting the money back into the business, not to create more business, but to make it better for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, dude, how do we make it so that the coffee shop is more convenient? How do we make it so our drinks taste better? How do we make it so it's like, let's put in a dope bitchin' sound system so our employees are having a good time while they're there? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not like, well, you know, we were going to get this, but it costs a little too much, so we got you this cheap version that's just going to fall apart quick. You know, it was never that. It was like, hey, dude, let's continue to pour into creating a foundation that we can build on together.
Yeah.
Not just with employees, but with the community, you know? So pretty cool. Anyways.
Yeah.
So I've had a couple coffees today, so I'm a little...
Yeah, no, me too. I'm feeling it. Family's always been involved, you know, just between, obviously, Dana and Trav, but, you know, even like your brother Jonah, your sister Dana, and then eventual brother-in-law Tim.
Yeah.
You know, Brian, Maxwell, Carly.
Clayton and Kelsey.
Clayton, yeah, Kelsey. What's great about that, and then, like, what were some of the challenges about that? And I guess... The other part of that is with that tie of a family business, as a, you know, teenager, you're about a senior in high school to this point. Like, did you feel like you wanted to do something else, or did you know, like, oh, I'm just always going to do Dutch Bros?
I guess the first bit with family, it's always interesting. Mm. I remember working a shift with my sister in the stand, and it was brutal, bro. She was just not nice to me. Listen, I am guilty of doing one thing, and that is talking a lot. Mm. And so she would get so mad at me because I would like just be talking to people. We work at the coffee house, and I'd just be like, oh, the drink's made. So I'm like, da, 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 there's a line, but I'm like talking. Dude, I'm so invested right now in this moment with you. And so I'm talking and talking. She'd just be like, dude, let's go, Brent. Then it would be something stupid like, hey, Dana, will you take out the trash? She's like, no, you're a boy. You go take it out. I'm like, that's so sexist. Like, you take the trash out. Like, you know, it's all figuring out how to communicate right to each other because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And I know that I can be a little more raw with my family.
Sure.
And so sometimes, like, I'll let that escape me a little bit. Families are unique. You're stuck with them, you know? And so we're lucky that we have just a cool fam. You know, but not everybody has that. Not everybody has like this, the great relationships with their families. But we've definitely been blessed with having really cool relationships with all the siblings. And then also, you know, all our cousins and stuff. Prime example of awkward situation. So I hired one of my family members and they were working for me. I won't name any names. They're new to the stand. And it was like, well, I know it's Super Bowl, but you've got to, I'm put you on the schedule, bro, to cover that shift. I'm sorry, bro. Like, everybody else has been here for a while and you just come in and geek off the street. You know what I mean? You got to earn your keep. Regulators, mount up, you know, and there's still a lot of bad blood there, you know, but it'll work itself out. Time heals all wounds is what I've learned.
Yeah, that was what the Cardinals Steelers, which is like dubbed as like the greatest Super Bowl of all time.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was unreal.
I missed the whole first set. I missed the James Harrison 98-yard touchdown.
Oh, bro,
return.
That was unbelievable. Oh, that was you. Crap. Sorry, Mark.
It was me. And I still hate
Well, and, you know, though, that is the one challenge, though, is like
Amber's, I understood it.
Amber's brother, for instance, you know, Cody, man, he's a stud. But he's Amber's brother, you know? So if I'm like, hey, you guys need to hire him, it's like, people will look at it and be like, oh, must be nice to be Brant's brother-in-law.
Sure.
And so I've always made it very much a point to be like, I'm not going to show favoritism to family. And none of our family has. You know, like a lot of people are like, oh, man, must be great to be the owner's son. But it's like, you know what? Like, I've been working my butt off for years now.
Yeah.
And it's, but it's because it's something that I love to do.
Yeah.
You know, if you love doing what you do, then freaking work your tail off at it. And you know what? I probably do get away with it a little more than most people would, but
well, sure.
Hey, dude, come on. You know.
But you've been there since 92.
Oh, yeah. I mean, living the dream. But yeah, and what was the second part of the question?
Like you said, you're stuck with your family. Yeah. So did you feel like you were stuck with Dutch Bros, or at that point were you wanting to do other stuff?
You know what? I think by the time my dream was in high school, I wanted to graduate and move to Bend and open up a stand because it was just too fun.
Yeah.
It's just way too fun. Of course, that didn't happen. When I got married to my beautiful bride, Amber Rose, we talked about moving to Boise. I actually went and looked at locations and stuff and came back, and my uncle and my dad sat me down and were like, hey, are you sure you just want a franchise, or do you want to do more with this? Would you be interested in doing more? And the thing that was so cool about growing up and all this stuff was that they made it very adamant, like, hey, just do whatever you want to do. Like, my dad would say it all the time. He's like, I don't care what it is that you want to do, just do it.
Yeah.
Just go. In essence, saying like, hey, just take action on it. Don't just sit around. Like, go and pursue. And so I did. I was a youth pastor for a few years, moved away for a little bit. But it was always something like, I feel like I'm really good at this. And my higher learning came on the streets of Dutch Bros Coffee, you know? And so...
Raised on the streets.
But, you know, I never felt boxed in. I always felt like, oh, man, I still do today.
Right.
Like, I'm like, I could go do anything I want to do. I really do feel that. And I think that's something that's been really cool, because that's something that's been instilled in me from my parents, you know, and even Trav. Don't get me wrong, there has been moments where it's just been, I felt like I feel this obligation, you know? But I'm honored to have that obligation, you know?
Yeah,
let's go.
I think no matter what you do, even if you love it, there's always going to be some things that are work, you know? It's like, well, this is my favorite part of it, but big picture, it's like,
Yeah, no one likes getting up early.
Eh, you know? Not fun.
No one likes staying up late, and that's not true.
Changing
the world is not easy. Let's just say that much.
It requires lots of coffee.
Yeah.
So then 2004 was the crazy year. It's like the brand new Epic warehouse.
Oh, man, that was brutal.
The business was totally flexing. Everything was good. And then it's August 8th, 2004, and the warehouse is on fire. And you guys actually got the call and went down there and literally watched it burn.
We watched it burn to the ground. We heard a lot of cool car vehicles explode.
Dang.
I remember, you know, that's one of my favorite parts of all of it was I'm sitting next to my dad. He had started slurring his speech at that time.
Yeah.
And you hear this big bang. He was like, did you hear that? I was like, yeah. He's like, that was bitchin'. And I was like, he took this horrific experience and found something cool in it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's, he was just good like that. It was like, dude, that was pretty freaking cool. Yeah, it was a vehicle of ours that just exploded, and everything that we have and do with Dutch Bros is burning up. But that was cool though, right? I mean, that was pretty cool.
That's so amazing.
Those are the kind of instances that kind of really, like, even prepared me for when he passed, you know? It was like, I knew it was going to be painful and tragic and harsh, but it really made me reevaluate life, who I am and what I expect and what I want out of my life. And then the honor of getting to be this man's son and getting to have him in my life. I mean, don't get me wrong, man. I'd give up a lot of things just to have one more day with the dude. I miss not having that kind of wisdom and influence. And I miss him not being there for all my kiddos, you know? And there's all kinds of stuff, you know, that, and I know I'm not alone. I know there's a lot of people that don't have father figures in their lives, or they don't even have, you know, grandparents. They don't have those kind of things. And so it's just life, you know, and life's tough. It's panning for gold. It's digging for gold. You know, there's a ton of mud and there's a ton of sludge and it's grody, but you know, you gotta find the nuggets in there. The fire was brutal, but at the same time, it was such a cool experience, because all the relationships that were built in it, we've already established. This, all these people in the coffee community were just bending over backwards to help us. The community that you create is massive. It's huge.
Yeah,
it's everything, because then in pain, they're the ones that you lean on. They're the ones that help out. They're the ones that understand and or make themselves available to be whatever it is that you need in that time of crisis.
It was a mind blow for me, because it was just a couple months later that I got hired. And you guys were running the company in the garage of the coffee house. And that's where like boxes of Tarani syrup and cups all were. And I'd pull in with the truck and drive the stock around. And they'd be in the upstairs with a couple of just nice chairs and a desk just having meetings and stuff.
The ghetto upstairs. Like, we called it the war room.
The war room. It's literally like an attic. It's like an overhang.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, like, obviously, not even close to where we are now, but still like a big company in my mind. Like there's a lot of locations. We're all over. We're in California at this point. And how is business as usual just going down out of this tiny little operation?
You just gotta figure it out. You just gotta go. I mean, that's what the thing is. Like, it don't matter what you do, just do it.
Totally.
You just gotta go. And so that was the thing that was so cool. I mean, there was challenges. It was like one of our number one things was our coffee.
Yeah.
We gotta roast it, and Boyd's Coffee stepped up in a massive way and helped us out there a ton. Yeah. I remember at the old Cormark building, we had to go in and transfer coffee into different bags and stuff. It made you work harder. You know, sometimes you need that to kind of make you appreciate everything and where it's at. Storms are just coming, man. They're just coming. We're guaranteed troubles, bro. All these things are just preparation for tomorrow, you know, what's coming down. If it wasn't for all that stuff, we wouldn't be where we're at today.
How did you internalize? I mean, clearly Dane passing was just massive weight on the family and heavy, but like a huge void in DB. Did you feel a lot of pressure of like, man, I gotta like carry on the torch and fill these shoes, or did you feel more like I'm gonna try to like focus on this thing? And like what did you think as far as like the company?
You know what? I mean, honestly, I feel like I kind of mentally checked out for a little bit. When he was sick.
It was long.
Yeah, it was a 4-year process. I had to step out of stands. I couldn't be in the stands anymore. It was just too emotional for me.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm a sensitive fella, you know? And so if this is affecting me this way, I know it's affecting Trav in a huge way too.
Yeah.
And so I kind of wanted to just make sure that I was available to help and be whatever I could. I wanted to be a distraction from the pain and focus of that stuff. Yeah, I mean, definitely feel a little bit of like a responsibility to it, you know, like I can't avoid that, you know, it's what I've known my whole life, you know? And so honestly, to this day, I still feel like WWDD, you know, what would Dane do?
Yeah.
And you know, what would Dad do? What would, like, how would he feel about this? You know? And it's not like Trav and I are distant. He's kind of like a bigger brother to me. He always kind of has been.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we talk about, well, what do you think your dad would think on this stuff? You know, that kind of stuff. And I know he knew my dad a lot more intimately than I did with a lot of this stuff, because they dealt with a lot of stuff together, you know? And so, I mean, I was so distracted of just growing up, and then even I got married when I was 20 and all that, you know? So, I mean, I was just young. And so I was 28 when my dad passed. I had a couple kiddos, you know? I mean, I was just figuring out how to be a dad and really into that, all that myself. And so I found myself wanting to be him. You know, and then realizing that I can't, not to sound too hippity dippity do, but we went to a Tony Robbins event, and it was something that like was just, it hit me, and it was like, I have to be me. I can't try to fill that void of loss in Dutch Bros. Sure. I won't be able to, because this dude was like such a better human than I'll ever be, you know? And so I'm like, all right, I just have to be the best me. And it was a cool realization. And then I still have to check it a lot, you know, because a lot of times you want to be like someone else. So you start to dress that way, you start to talk that way, you start to act that way. It was a interesting kind of journey of discovery. And that really has brought me to where I'm at today, you know, of the director of culture helping out with the vision and the history and the guidance of the culture of the company, you know. And I want to make sure that what Trav's vision is for it, that it's in tune with the heart of it, and he knows it way more than better than I ever do, but I just want to make sure that I can help protect and guard it with him. I just want to be on his team and do my best to influence, and we want to change the world, man.
Yeah.
And that means we've got to go outside of ourselves. I always say this thing is like, I know what I'm capable of, and I know what I'm capable of. You know, like, I'm capable of doing awesome, and I'm also capable of not doing anything at all, you know?
Right.
But there definitely was a time where it was like, who am I? What is this? And trying to fill that void, and then realizing that that's just not real, and that's not what people need. We need you, you know, like that. And that's and I think that's the case for everybody.
It's one of the biggest challenges in life, I think, is just honing in who you are, and not only identifying what that is, but being comfortable with it too.
Well, I think you have to come to a place too where you've got to be aware of what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is the current now? You know, because with loss, you have to adapt life. There is a void. How do you create a new space? Especially for me, I was just kept trying to fill in the blank, and it was like, well, let's just create a new thing because it's not going to be the same. Mm-hmm. It's never going to be the same. It will refine you. I promise you this. That's the thing. Pain will refine you. It will make you rethink it all. Because the thing that's rad is like, this is our life. Why would we want to settle? It breaks my heart when I see people that just kind of don't do. If you're not happy with your job, quit, move, find it. Yeah. If you're not satisfied with your body, do something about it. You know, if you're not happy with the place that you live, dude,
move.
The world is big. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's so much opportunity out there, and it's easy to get caught up. It's easy to get trapped in time. This whole history of Dutch Bros has been such a journey, such a fun thing. At the same time, it's just been a life thing because I've gotten to experience the fun. I've gotten to experience the pain, the heartache, the pleasure, the frustrations, the anger, the all of it, man. And it's life. It's a roller coaster ride. And so it's just strap in and let's go. I'm excited for where we're going. I'm excited for where we're growing.
Yes.
There's a lot on the plate, man. There's a lot moving forward. And this year, you know, we're done. Part three of a history little tour. You guys all get to hear it, and you get to hear me ramble quite a bit too. But you know what? I'm excited for where we're going. I mean, I just want to continue to pour out information, knowledge, and I'm definitely not the wise man. I'm the Brannicus, bro, and I'm gonna just try to do my best to be me and get to share and expose as much of us as we can to the world here.
Well, and I do think there's wisdom in what we learned from the past. So,
oh, no doubt.
Just thank you for being on the couch, providing your perspective, and then obviously the three segments that Trav's talked.
Dude.
Many lessons in everything we've just talked about.
It is such a cool thing having him be vulnerable with us. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he goes through it on such a deeper level than I get to. I mean, and it's awesome because he's protected me from a lot of
tough choices
or all that stuff, you know, and he's really been such a hero for my family and a radical example of just how to lead, you know, and paying the price that it takes to do that a lot of times, you know. Super cool that he was open-minded to sharing this with everybody. So hope you guys all enjoyed it.
It's quite possible by the time you hear this one, we'll have opened our 300th location.
Yeah, holy moly. Time travel.
That messes with my brain.
Yeah, watch out. Well, until next time, we will catch you guys all on the flippy. Enjoy it. You know what? Hey, don't just listen to everybody else's history. Why don't y'all go out there and make your own?